Welcome to Ballyhoo Fiber Emporium, a podcast for fiber producers and artists. I'm your host, Madeline Rosenberg. Yes, there's been a change of name. There's been quite a lot of changes over the last 6 or 7 months, but let's not get into that. I want to share with you an interview that should have been posted last year and didn't because of schoolwork and moving and other things, and I'm so, so sorry. My apologies to you listeners as well as to Anastasia for not getting this posted sooner. Our first episode of 2017 also happens to be our first international episode. Anastasia makes beautiful wire wrap jewelry, hairpins, shawl pins, hair combs, earrings, different pieces. You can see her work on Instagram, which is how I came to find her, and also on Etsy. I was so excited that she was willing to speak with me and so excited to share her with you. So at long last, here's my interview featuring Lyramare Designs, and please enjoy. I feel like I'm really bad at this because I haven't done it in so long, so bear with me. Now that I'm out of school, we can do this more, and I'll get better, I promise. How did you begin in fiber arts, or do you have a background in fiber arts?
No, actually, no. Why is it fiber? I just don't get it. I do not work with fiber. Mm-hmm. But I know that I'm somehow connected with fiber arts, and that is the way that my customers are connected. Most of the items which I do are shell pins. Mm-hmm. And I know that people who buy my shell pins, I don't know, I'm not quite sure, but I think it's like 90%. They buy it for the shawls that they have knitted by themselves. Mm-hmm. And add it as a present when they want to give it as a gift to someone, like an addition to their shawl. I've heard it a lot from my clients, from the customers, and it's very pleasing. Unfortunately, I'm a bad knitter. I have tried. I only could do that with like scarves. The quality was not very good. I could only give it like a present to my dearest and nearest. And like at first they would wear those like to show me that they appreciated that, but then they would hide them somewhere very far. And the same I did to myself, like I need it, I liked it, but then I understood, no, it's not working, it's too clumsy, so I stopped doing that. And the same about crocheting. Actually, I do like the process. I need it to be more meditative one, like I don't like to count those hoops. It's always a stress for me. No, I don't do that. So either it's clumsy or I'm not relaxed.
So that's how did you start working with metal then?
Metal, I had a long way. The first wire wrapped earrings I made, which I learned actually far after that, it was 2007, and I didn't know the word wire wrap. I didn't know there was this whole like branch of handmade. Mm-hmm. It was just actually at that time I was an exchange student in Sweden. There were very long nights, and I was a bit depressed because there was big lack of sunlight, and I didn't know what to do to entertain myself except for, you know, talking with my friends and stuff. But I wanted to do something, like my hands were reaching for something. And then there were some materials in their workshop, and they said to us students, if you are like do not know what to do, you can come here, use the materials, and make anything. So I took some wire, some beads, those were some plastic beads, and I made some earrings which were like branch earrings. Mm-hmm. There are many of those on Etsy right now. Okay, mine were of course very clumsy. I didn't even know that there was this so many opportunities to do with wire. Plus the wire was very thin. I do not like branch earrings, in fact, to do them right now. I have never done like after that. I like something more sturdy. Uh-huh. To do. So I did them, and I actually wore them for some time. Then I forgot about that. And when I gave birth to my first child, I had to do something, and I came across polymer clay. I fell in love But it was a short love. It was only for like half a year or so. For me, polymer clay was like it could imitate anything. I didn't want it to look plastic. So I was searching for the effects of ceramics and metal, and then I understood that what I want is metal. And then also I was looking a lot at the works of others on Flickr, and I discovered why I wrapped there.
Mm-hmm.
On Flickr, and I fell in love now completely. So it started like 2011, so now it's been 5 years. If I have a chance, I do it every day. It's like I'm never tired of that. Unfortunately, it's not like every day that I do have a chance to work. But if I do, then okay, I do not want anything. For me, it's like the best way is to sit, relax, and YRAP.
It's like therapy.
Yes, that makes me happy and relaxed. Mm-hmm. So I listen to a lot of stuff, like to the radio, to audio books. So I can do whatever, like even two things at once. For me, it's like a lot. I like audiobooks quite a lot, and doing this and that at the same time is like the perfect combination.
So were you studying art then, or are you completely self-taught?
I can say that I'm self-taught, but when I was a kid, I went to art school.
Oh, okay.
And yes, that was not like craft, it was more like drawing and painting.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we had composition. This is how you arrange stuff on the piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there was no course on ceramics in our art school, because actually what I am mostly willing to do is actually that, but I didn't have a chance. I was drawing and painting
mm-hmm.
for some time, quite a long ago, and it was not like professional stuff to do. It's like the beginner's level.
So have you gotten to take ceramics since then?
No, unfortunately not. It's still like,
oh, no.
It's not that easy. Like in the city where I live, it's not that available. It's not like you can go to some course, apply for the course and go. It's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
I do not know where to go, like in the city where I live.
Do you live in a pretty rural area then?
No, I can't say it. It's 200,000 people.
Oh, wow.
Living here. But for Russia, it's a little town. Yes, for us, it's little. It's not very far from St. Petersburg.
Uh-huh.
And actually, I live very, very close to the European Union. It's
okay.
Like 60 kilometers. Like it's almost there.
Right on the edge, yeah.
Yeah.
So you say you find your inspiration from thousands of places. Is that mostly from books? Are you inspired by nature or... How do you come
Yes,
up?
Of course it's nature. What I like a lot is patterns and ornaments, stuff like that. I actually do like those patterns. And when we are playing like with my daughter, who is six now,
mm-hmm.
and she wants to draw, when she doesn't know what to do, I always suggest her, draw a pattern. It's not like mandalas, of course.
Yeah.
It's not that. Yes. But still, I like the way that from the beginning it's something simple, but then you add some more details, and then the complete picture looks like something complicated. But in fact, to get it, you only use some simple patterns and ideas. They are incorporated, and then you get this whole, which is complicated. That's what I like. Within this complicated stuff, there is something really simple, and that combination makes it complete.
Yeah. Did you start out with them as shawl pins? Was that your intention, or were they hair pieces that you found out people were adopting for something else?
Oh, first, what I started to do were earrings.
Uh-huh.
And that was like absolutely conscious choice for me, because I thought that if I can make up two identical things, then I will be able to make anything. So first it was like, I don't know, several months. I didn't do anything. I trained my hand at earrings. And after that, actually, I didn't know they were shell pins before I started making them. I found them like on Flickr or somewhere else. I don't know. Or maybe even on Etsy. And I thought that, oh my, that's cool. You can only make one thing and you do not need to make another one to pair it up. And it could be beautiful. I'm not very keen on neck items. Like, I do not wear much of that by myself. That's why, for me, it was like freedom. You do not need to make it absolutely symmetrical. You can do it as it goes. That's what I like about shell pins most of all. They do look beautiful even if they are not symmetrical.
Mm-hmm.
Although sometimes I make them symmetrical. It's just like my mood. Mm-hmm. I can do what I wish.
Right.
Yes.
When I saw your work on Instagram, I was so impressed. Everything you make is absolutely lovely. And
oh,
then I went on your Etsy shop and I saw your hair sticks, and those are beautiful too. Do you source the stones and extra things that you put in there locally?
No.
Oh.
Locally, it's terrible. local market on stones is terrible. I almost do not have stones from local area. And those I have are actually seed beads, but they come from Czech Republic. That's what I can buy here.
Mm-hmm.
There are some little shops offering those stones that I need here in Russia, and I order from them. We have a big website, which is a bit like Etsy, although it works a bit different. It's called Live Master, and I used to sell some of my items there, but then I closed my shop there. Still, I source my stones from them. Also, I source from Etsy sellers. Indians, okay. Chinese, like agates, they mostly come from China. I do not know where can I buy them otherwise. So, and from the United States also, I have purchased several times.
Is your customer base mostly in Europe or mostly in the US? Or
mostly it's the US, but maybe 20% is Europe. Tiny 1% is something else. It's like several times I have sent my items to Australia, and once it was China, and once it was Qatar. When I got my order from Qatar, I was really impressed because it was like, wow, are they also there? Are they sorting anything from there? And that was a girl who was making it was actually a hair piece. She wanted that, and she was a hairstylist.
So all by yourself, you're global.
Actually, I'm almost global. I wish someone from Japan would buy from me. That would be perfect.
Just round it out. Kind
of, yes, I was just wishing that because I'm keen on Japan, although you can't see that in my jewelry. I do not have much of that culture there, but I used to be very impressed by that, and I used to watch lots of anime, and for me, Japan is like a milestone.
Your pieces are very simple and very elegant, and so in that way, I think they embody some Eastern style, definitely.
But it's not Japanese one, it's rather Asian. It's like, I don't know, it's Mideast.
Mm-hmm.
Or something gypsy, but Japan is somewhere I have it in mind. That's a goal, so maybe someday.
Do you sell locally, like at fairs or in shops?
I used to do that. I used to do, but now I even have offers from some local shops to come and bring my jewelry to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that if I do that, they won't inform me immediately when something is sold, and I want to keep my eye on my Etsy shop.
Right.
I'm a bit greedy about that. I want to keep everything by myself and to know where I have my stuff. I do not want to disappoint any of my customers or be in a rush.
Right.
And so I keep everything to myself. Everything is updated. I know for sure I have this and I don't have this. This I make for order. I don't take orders for this because I'm out of the beads.
Mm-hmm. I had that happen once. I had a skein of yarn that I thought I had in stock, and I had sent it to a shop, just like what you're saying, and somebody ordered it on Etsy. I had to ask the shop to send it for
That is a
me.
disaster. I'm kind of scared of that. I do not want that to happen.
Right.
I prefer to keep my eye on this stuff. Actually, if you would see my space, you would see that it's messy, but at least I can guess where it is for sure,
Right.
because I have several boxes. Actually, there is no logics why this piece is here and that is there, but still, at least somehow I can guess.
It's your
But
system.
yes, it's something not to understand, but still I use.
So is your daughter starting to pick it up?
Kind of, but she's so spontaneous. Like, she wants to do it very quickly and only in her own way. So you can imagine what comes out of it.
Yeah.
Yes, so it's something very prickly, and I don't know. But maybe someday. She's too young. She's only 6. She has
Right.
just turned 6, so she could string maybe like beads on a string. That's enough for this age, maybe.
Right. Then she gets bored.
Yes, she's very easily bored with anything. Anything but maybe painting. She can paint like 10 pictures at a time.
Wow.
Yes, it's like she needs half an hour. After that, there will be 10 pictures. And then after that, she won't touch the paints for 1 or 2 weeks. And then she will have this outburst of imagination for another
She's waiting
time.
for inspiration.
Yes. She's very impulsive.
Do you keep any of your work for yourself, or is it all for sale?
I do, and mostly the pieces that I have for myself are much simpler. I keep for myself. I do not know why. What I admire, like on other people, and like when I look through again Flickr or whatever, they are elaborate pieces. But for myself, I prefer something simple.
Are there specific colors that you use when you do your own work versus things that really appeal commercially?
As for the color schemes, so I think that most of the time I pick up one color which I know for sure that this one should be here, and then I think how it could be combined with something else. For me, what always works, what can make me feel good about the piece, is like turquoise. When I see turquoise, I like the piece. It's almost like for sure. Sometimes I just skim my shop and I see that, like, what do I have in earrings? Oh, so many red ones. No, now I need to make green
Right.
just for a change. Yes,
Right.
and then I do that. Sometimes it's like that. I'm quite sure about the form, but as for the colors, it's always a bit, sometimes it's even stressing. Because you have, I'm not very rich in beads, so it's
Right.
like, but still there are many, and there are many of shades, and sometimes you do not know for sure what to start with.
It sounds like you have a pretty organic process. So you sort of let the piece tell you what it wants to be.
Oh, it's most of the time it is. Sometimes they keep silent. And for me, it's like, I do not know what to do with you. Are you finished? What to do? And then maybe I take it away for some time, and then I will change it, like, absolutely. It's been with me for so many times. Some pieces, they have been waiting for months. And after that completion, they would look much, much better than initially, and also they would sell like much quicker. So for me, it's okay. Maybe it's like good wine, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a bit, they
They have
need
to
some
age.
thought. Yes. And I actually like that because sometimes it happens a lot with the pieces that are made to order. I do not use any measurements when making stuff. Everything is, I can't say it's on impulse, but it's more like my hand's memory, I don't know. So sometimes I just see that, no, it's too big, or it's too wide, or it's too short. No, I don't take this. It has been meant for that piece. Mm-hmm. So I take it away. And then after that, with those pieces that were somehow not used for what they were meant, then I make up something else. Or sometimes it's like two pieces that were not very good looking at themselves. I make them into one, and that works.
They're better together.
Yes, yes.
Do you partner with other makers?
No, I haven't partnered with anyone but for my husband, who is not actually a maker. But, you know, I'm scared of anything that's hot.
Uh-huh.
So when I need to solder something, I ask him. And also all the ball heads on the pins, it's his work. I ask him to do that. So I cut the wire in what I want, give him the stick, which is with it. So I give it to him, he does it for me, and I thank him, and then yes, and then I can use it. Because I'm very scared of fire, and I'm afraid of being burned.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of man's work, so,
that's his
he can
job.
Do that. And he's helping me. He actually likes it. Actually, at first, he was quite skeptical. It was not like, why are you doing that? Nobody would buy it. No, he never said that. But he still was skeptical, and he wouldn't like me to choose like between watching a film with him or making something.
Mm-hmm.
He would grumble. But then when I started earning something, he offered his help. So for me, it was like a milestone. Like, now you understand, it was not for nothing.
Right.
Yes. Now it's kind of family business, although he is more like supporting me.
Mm-hmm.
Not like on constant basis.
Well, that's cool. So is this what you do full time then?
I'm on a maternity leave right now. My baby is 6 months old, almost seven. He's turning seven in a couple of days. Right now, that's the only thing that I make to earn money. But my main stuff, you understand, it's like changing nappies and all this stuff. But before that, no, of course not. I'm an office worker, although actually what I have in mind is quite a job. I know that many people who do handmade things, they wish that, and I'm among them.
Yeah, it's more fulfilling.
Oh, of course, of course. Plus, I'm not an office person, in fact. It's not like I do not enjoy office life at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe had it been maybe another company, maybe I would like it. But I do not know any company in my city that I would like to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Not like I'd like to join any.
Right. Make your own company.
Oh, I will think of that. But the more I think of that, the more I understand that the best thing for me is to be independent.
Right.
I really enjoy. I do. I don't know. It's like heaven. Not having my colleagues around.
Mm-hmm.
Doing my own thing. Of course, what's bad about that is that I do not communicate a lot.
Right.
But I think that there are other ways to substitute that. I mean, like maybe going to some courses, up some volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
You can arrange that if you really need that.
Yeah, you can. You have to find ways.
Yes, I think that if I stay at home and work from home, then I will find a way to somehow go out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need that. I do not need lots of communication, but still I need some.
Yes. Do you have anything new that you're making or releasing soon?
it's not like a collection, but today I made preparations to make five new things for hair. Yes, they will be two combs and three forks.
Wow.
Three hair forks. Yes. Because I was like checking again my shop and thought, oh, I haven't had hair combs for, I know, for some time. Mm-hmm. And why?
How long does it take you to make a piece? Or does it just depend?
Of course, it all depends. And earring pair is always, it always takes longer than one shopping. As for hair pieces, I don't know, it's sometimes so spontaneous that I'm just starting and then it's finished. I don't know. It's like it goes so smoothly that I do not notice how the time passes. As for the earrings, it's always a bit intriguing because you need to keep your eye on them being identical.
Mm-hmm.
Always it's a challenge.
Is it more difficult to work them because the pieces are smaller?
No. Bigger pieces for me are more difficult.
Oh.
Yes, the best size for me is about 7 centimeters. Mm-hmm. All that is bigger. Head pieces are bigger. It's a bit larger scale mm-hmm. for me, and it's a bit more difficult. Small pieces, but I never make them too small. It's never, if I make earrings, they won't be shorter than 5 centimeters, just because I do not like small earrings. It's like small earrings should be made like from in my mind. If the earrings are small, they should be silver or gold. If it's copper, then it should be something more bohemian, something that could be seen from some distance.
Yeah, it should be a showpiece.
Yes, it's yes, you should be able to see.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
And oh, thank you. That was a great experience.
And can we tell people again where to find you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm on Instagram. It's Littlemare Designs. But I do not, what is between the words? How do you tell it?
It's an underscore, right?
Yes. It's yeah. Littlemare _ Designs. Yes. And on Etsy, it's Shalpins by Littlemare.
Easy to find, easy to order. Go get one today.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you, and best of luck with everything that you're making.
Thank you. Bye.
And now the news from Ballyhoo Farm. It would be difficult to catch you up on the last 6 months in the time that we have. I think I may have Lori or someone interview me at some point, and we can play catch up that way about interesting things that have happened. Some good, some not so good. We had some losses in 2016, but overall, not a bad year. It's kind of hard to find my feet again, not just for the podcast, but as far as momentum for my yarn, etc. I'm staring 25 fleeces in the face. Well, not at this moment, but one at a time. I'm working through last year's fleeces to stave off Fleecegeddon when I have spring shearing this year and have no yarn and 70 fleeces. But I'm working through them one at a time. I have a new processor that I'm working with, and we'll be speaking with her next week. Her name is Erin, and I'm very excited about her. I'm excited about a lot of things, aren't I? I'm excited to be done with school. I have finished my school work, but I postponed my graduation. I should have graduated last month, and instead I postponed it until such time as I can speak with the chancellor regarding the great matter. I guess there's a strong sense of social justice there, but also the fact that it does continue to affect me and has affected my entire education. But anyway, I'm done with the work now, so I can spend more time with you and more time on the sheep, more time figuring out workshops, which I will be offering as soon as it warms up enough to sit in the Emporium. Class that I'm going to be teaching in May at the Kentucky Sheep and Fiber Festival, which is kind of like a next level after your intro to wool class for those who want to produce their own and aren't sure how to go about selling it or what to do with it. There's lots to look forward to. I need help deciding, so please comment either here or on Instagram, ballyhoo.fiber.emporium. It's 2017, it's a new year, and I have no projects on the needles right now, if you can believe that. I finished everything after I finished my schoolwork. I've had a month off, and now I don't have class to knit in. However, I've been asked to join a brand new knitting group, so I'm going to do that starting on the 19th of this month, and I need something to cast on. So I need help deciding whether 2017 should be the year of the sweater or the year of the socks. I desperately, desperately want to learn how to knit socks. I tried once. I don't know why they didn't work out. I had a beautiful gusset. It was something about the toes. They were top down. Maybe that was my problem. Lots of people tell me it's different things. Anyhow, I would like to knit socks. But I would also really like to knit sweaters. I would like to wear my own sweater that I made. Or maybe make one for other people. It's snowing for the first time this season, and the first time for Eula ever, and the first time for Seuss. Seuss is doing very well. He's taken rather nicely to being a sheep, although if you go out and spend any time with him, he reverts to thinking he's a dog. He has a lovely fleece. I sheared him at a historical reenactment in October, along with his grandmother, who is doing also very well, Cinnabon. If you remember, she got shot when Pearl got shot. And if you need more about that story, I highly suggest you hop over to my website, ballyhoofiberemporium.com. And on the podcast page, there's a paper that I wrote for my environmental ethics class about Pearl and that experience, which continues to haunt us. And I haven't quite decided whether to plant a ginkgo tree or a fruit tree over her. But she needs a nice memorial. So input on that is welcome as well. Pearl is in my logo and kind of belong to all of us. The flock is healthy and happy, and the horses are happy, and the dogs are happy, and Zeke may become a father this spring. Overall, everything's going pretty well. I hope it's going well for you also, and that you are healthy and happy and spinning or knitting away. And I look forward to interacting more with you this year. So until next time, Happy New Year, and remember, spin everywhere.